Johnny, I think this is the biggest music stand I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, I could have like brought all my notes and well, it's good to be here with you all. And I enjoy interacting as I bring kind of messages or as we kind of look at scripture together. I've done obviously work studying, but I do believe that probably many of you also have done work studying and have been followers of Jesus, and so this is not just, hey, sit back and listen. It's, hey, let's be involved together. So I'll be asking some questions. Most of them are not rhetorical. The majority of them are meant to be answered out loud. And even I'll add this to it, because I always do this at Finland too. If throughout you go, hey, I think you're missing something, just raise your hand and let's dialogue about it, because we want to be in the Word together. But it's Memorial Day weekend and we're at Spruce Lake, and I have some questions for you. No, that's all right. Can you just hit me to the next slide? There we go. What are some of your favorite things to do at Spruce Lake? What? Hammock. Climbing the mountain.
Eating.
Swimming in the pond or in the pool? In the pool. Hanging out? All right. Anything else? Biking? Are there some good jumps here? Yeah. Awesome. What about Gaga? Anyone out there? I was watching a whole group play Gaga earlier. How many of you are Gaga people? Anyone? All right, some people in the back. Nine square in the air, anybody? All the camp people keep raising their hands. This is awesome. Yeah, now what are, I guess when I'm up here, I also enjoy, I bring my road bike with me often. It's really nice riding up here. I like playing the disc golf. Any disc golfers out there? A couple disc golfers, all right. Drinking milkshakes at the snack stand. Can I hear a yes to that? All right, that was a crowd pleaser. Climbing the rock wall. Anyone enjoy the rock wall? Anyone ever do this Jacob's ladder that's above us right here? One of my favorite activities here is the Jacob's ladder. What about these things? You can move on to the next slide for me. What about these things do you like so much? So whatever you answered, what about it is it that you enjoy? Being together. So you like being together, and the reason why is because you're being together. All right. Anybody else? What about lying in a hammock? What's so good about lying in a hammock? It's relaxing. It's restful. It's peaceful. Unless someone comes up and starts shaking it really violently on you. All right, so what else? What about biking? What about biking is so good? And is it exciting? A little thrilling? Okay. And how about the milkshakes? Because that was a crowd pleaser. What about milkshakes is so good?
Satisfying.
Yeah, there's that satisfaction. Right, as you think about that, I want you to think about all those reasons why as examples of what is good news. So we hear the phrase good news a lot. And as we think about what good news is, I want to give it a broader kind of understanding than what maybe most Christians think about when they think about good news. Because good news to me, as I understand scripture, is any piece of heaven that breaks through in a moment. Any part of the kingdom of God that is being experienced is good news. So peace is something of the kingdom of heaven. So when we're lying in that hammock with that wonderful breeze coming along, we're experiencing good news because that's a piece of what the kingdom of heaven is like. When we're jumping our bike and we're having that thrilling experience, or maybe it's zipping down the zip line and you just get that rush of adrenaline, that's part of the kingdom. Right? There will be that kind of things in the kingdom. So anytime we experience that, that is good news, breaking forth in the moment. And so keep that in mind as we think through today and tomorrow about what we are to do with good news and what good news is in our lives. For today, I want to talk about what it means to remember good news, because that is one of the reasons I love being at Spruce Lake so much. For everything you named, but for me, what it does is it helps me to remember. Helps me to remember. Now, how many of you are willing to admit that they can forget some things throughout the day? Yep, you ever in a conversation with somebody, and somewhere along the way you go, oh, I need to say something, and by the time you get your chance, you're like, ah, and they're like, yeah, what were you going to say? I don't remember. Isn't that maddening that we can actually forget our thought within 5 seconds because we didn't have a chance to just say it? So we can forget our thoughts. How many of you, as kids, your parents asked you to do something and you were doing something else while they asked you and your answer was like, okay, I'll get to, yep. And then 30 minutes go by and your parent normally shows back up and goes, what happened? I thought we were, you said, oh, I forgot. And then sometimes it happens 2, 3, 4 times, right? Parents, those are fun encounters with our kids. But to not put it all just on our kids, how many of you that are older, maybe you're younger and you do this, I don't know, but you are in one room, you're like, I got to run upstairs to get something. So you run upstairs, you get to the top of the steps, and you're like, what? What was I doing? Why did I come up here? Or you get so sidetracked because you see something else that needs to be done in the moment, you do that, and then you're like, I know I came up here for a reason. I know there was intentionality here, but I seem to have forgotten. So it's frustrating, right, how we can kind of forget these things. And I believe we can do the same thing when it comes to forgetting the Lord. Forgetting his presence, forgetting his power, forgetting his goodness, forgetting his promises. And I think there are things that the Lord built in to creation that are actually reminders that all of us can take advantage of every second of every day. And so with that, we're going to dive into Isaiah 40. If you have Bibles, you can open with me to Isaiah 40. And we're going to find out what and how exactly am I reminded of these things while I'm here at Spruce Lake, and how can we apply this not only when we're at Spruce Lake, but anywhere that we go? So here's what it says in Isaiah 40. I'm just going to read today verses 9 to 11 and 18 to 26. And we're going to think about the what and the how of being reminded. So here's what it says, starting in verse 9, Isaiah 40. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lamb in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. And I'm just going to keep reading rather than skip. We'll go all the way to 26 here. Who else has held the oceans in his hands? Who has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Who else knows the weight of the earth or has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in a bucket. They're nothing more than dust on the scales. He picks up the whole earth as though it were a grain of sand. All the wood in, I'll contextualize this, all the wood on Spruce Mountain and all the animals in Spruce Lake would not be enough to make a burnt offering worthy of our God. The nations of the world are nothing to him. In his eyes, they count for less than nothing, mere emptiness and froth. To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. To people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. Or if you're staying in an RV, makes his RV from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Wow, so those are some powerful verses in there from Isaiah, some of which God's speaking, some of which Isaiah is speaking. If you ever read the Old Testament with prophets and you go, wait, is the Lord saying this or is the prophet saying this? You're getting it, right? It's meant to be almost unsure because the prophet is the mouthpiece of the Lord. Exodus in particular, it gets really tricky. But don't feel bad if you do that. We all get confused sometimes over who's saying what. But what we're seeing here is, what am I reminded of? Oh, you're on top of things. What am I reminded of being at Spruce Lake? Well, what I'm reminded of is our good and awesome God. Right? That's the what. I'm reminded of his power, of his presence, of his complete otherness. Or, and I think this might be a made-up word, his complete one-of-a-kindness. That's what we can be reminded of. His goodness, his love, his grace, his truth, his provision. Right? We can be reminded of that. I am reminded of that every time that I'm here. And how, maybe? Or maybe before I get to that, how would you feel about being regularly and consistently reminded of these things about our King? Like, does that sound like a good thing to be able to go through your day regularly reminded about our King's goodness, about his love, his grace, his truth? Yeah, I would like to be reminded of those things. So that brings us to the question, how? How are we to be reminded of this? How do we get anything out of Isaiah that helps us on a regular basis? Well, the how is this: by looking around, observing, and asking questions. And not just any questions, Isaiah-like questions. So, for example, maybe you've been up here and you've smelled some aromas. What aromas have you smelled while you've been here? Campfire. Anyone here like the smell of a campfire? I love the smell of a campfire. We were actually across the street last night and I could smell the campfire over here and it just like was like, we gotta get over there. They got a campfire going, right? It's a good smell. What else? Yeah, that's going to be simmering all day long, the chicken barbecue. We're just going to be smelling it, and our mouths are going to water. Maybe it's a skunk that you... We smelled a skunk on the way up. Anyone particularly enjoy that smell? Me neither, but here's the thing. Every time we smell something, whether it's good or even bad, because there's multiple aromas around us, we can kind of take a pause and think, ask a question. Why am I able to smell? Right, imagine, and some of you don't have to imagine, because you experienced this in 2020 if you got COVID, some people stop being able to smell. Some people stop being able to taste. And sometimes we take it for granted that we fail to ask the question, why can I smell and taste in the first place? Well, because we have an awesome God who wanted us to be able to experience things in a powerful way. Think about it this way. He didn't have to. He didn't have to give us the ability to smell or taste. He could have just been like, yep, you're going to eat this stuff because you have to. It's nourishment. We could have kind of experienced what the people of Israel did for 40 years as all they ate was quail and manna. And Any of them, were they like, thank you, Lord, for this scrumptious meal that you provide? No, they complained all the time because it really didn't have a taste. And if you were one of those people that did experience the tastelessness of if you got COVID, they actually said that was a big danger because people stopped having a desire to eat because it was a miserable experience. It's feeling food in your mouth, but not tasting anything. And so people were actually losing a lot of weight because of it. So think about that. What does it say about God? Well, it says that he's got a lot of goodness, that he would even consider giving us taste buds, giving us the ability to smell. Hike Spruce Mountain and look out over the horizon. Who's done that yet? I love doing that every time. Why? Because it reminds me of God's immensity. You look at the world and you go, this place is huge. And this is just one little tiny fragment of it, to which God says, a nation is nothing to me. And I look out over the Spruce Mountain, I look at the mountains in the distance and the different ridgelines that you can see, and I go, this place is massive. What a beautiful creation. And yet God's like, yeah, it's like a grain of rice to me. The world, not even just this area of the world. So wow, we remember his immensity. How many of you played, where are my disc golf players at? Who played disc golf? All right, did you ever have an experience where you got your disc and you're eyeing up your shot and you're in a wooded kind of area, sort of like Spruce Lake here, and you see your alley and you're like, all right, I'm gonna hit it. And you wind up and you throw and it smacks the tree right dead center, falls right down on the ground like 2 feet from you and you're like, what? Next time that happens, you can actually use that as a reminder of God. Because I sometimes jokingly say, who put that tree there in my way? And yet, if I actually allow that answer to be answered, that question to be answered, I go, oh wait, the Lord allowed that to be there. The Lord in his goodness created these trees. A tree that made my frisbee and my throw, which I thought was powerful and amazing, look like nothing. Right? Actually, instead of drawing me into a time of frustration, where it's like, well, that was a waste of a throw. No, instead, it might have been the best throw of the day because it's going to remind me of our wonderful Creator, of his sovereignty, of his power. How many of you like looking at stars? Yeah, we got to get like a lights out policy here at some point where just all the lights go out because there's way too many lights anymore to be able to see the stars like you used to be able to, but you can still see some stars here, right? We look up at the stars. And that actually is the illustration that Isaiah uses. Look up into the heavens. Who created all these? If you go to Colossians, I think it's Colossians, it actually even goes on to say, by his power, he holds all these together. So we think of the sun. You think of the amount of energy that the sun puts off. And that's just one of billions of stars. And it says in the scriptures that the Lord himself sustains all of these by his power. Whoa. That's power. If he can hold those together by his power, can I trust him to hold me together right now? Can I trust him to keep me during this difficult season, trial, difficulty that I'm experiencing? And we look at the stars, we go, wow, he holds all those together, and he seemingly does a pretty good job with that. Okay, all right, so see how we're being reminded here? Just by looking around. How about a breeze? There's a wonderful breeze out there this morning. And every breeze has that kind of refreshing feel to it. And yet when you see the breeze, you don't actually see the breeze. You see the movement caused by the breeze. And so in the same way, that can remind us, we're not always going to see God in his presence, right? We're not always going to even feel it, but we can see the results of his presence, especially by looking back. Sometimes is the best way to see that. And so it's particularly helpful to sit there in the breeze and go, ah, yes, just like the breeze, you're as present. You're as active and moving, even when I can't see you. So it reminds us of his presence. Anyone here really enjoy watching a sunrise or a sunset? Me too. Although I often can't get up early enough to watch the sunrise, I do appreciate it when I do, because it's just stunning, right? It's dazzling artistry of our Creator that just allows us to have that amazing viewpoint of either the morning or the evening. But more than that, right? All these things, they're reminders. This one may be the most powerful reminder, because every day the sun goes down. Every day the light leaves and it becomes dark. Every day it's a reminder of the death of the Son of God, when it seemed like darkness conquered. And yet every morning is that even more beautiful reminder that the sun rose, that life is found in him, that beauty is found in him, that the eternal kind of kingdom that we can experience is even able to be experienced in the here and now. And every time we see the sunrise, we go, oh yes, Jesus rose from the dead. I can trust in him. I know that I have forgiveness. I know that death has been conquered. I know that even the sin that maybe I struggle with, he already paid for and delivered me out of. It's Memorial Day weekend, and being here at Spruce Lake gives us all a chance to look around, ask questions, and remember things of eternal significance. Things that God himself designed into creation to be a pointer back to him, right? Just by looking around, observing, and asking questions, letting the scenery and the other people even remind us of the Lord Almighty, his amazing grace, and his profound, powerful truth of a resurrected king. So what I hope you do is I hope you take time this weekend to remember these things yourself. But don't just keep it with yourself. Do it also with your spouse, with your family, with your kids, with your friends, sitting around a campfire, eating s'mores, hiking the mountain, whatever it is that you find yourself doing. Because interestingly, as we do this, we actually become the messengers of verse 9. O Zion. What's Zion but the people of God? O people of God, messengers of good news. You become those messengers of good news, the messengers that point out peace, that point out grace, that point out satisfaction, enjoyment, beauty. We become those exact messengers of good news, proclaiming the king and his kingdom as we do. So let's go out today remembering our king and proclaiming this to others wherever we go this weekend and in the weeks to come. Let's pray. Lord, what an amazing God you are. I pray for all of us that as we're enjoying and smelling the chicken barbecue, that it would remind us that you are the one that gave us the ability to smell. That, Lord, as we experience fellowship with one another, that you are the one who created fellowship, and that you actually invite us to experience fellowship with you as well. Lord, as we just do these things on Memorial Day weekend, let us remember our King and your kingdom. And then help us to proclaim that, not only to ourselves, but to each other, and bring you glory and be drawn closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.